And I know only hope. And in this one verse, 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Then in John's Gospel, chapter 20, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid Him. Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they ran, they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. And as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and she wept. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid Him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. Then she returned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Jane Austen said in her book, Sense and Sensibility, life could do nothing for her beyond giving time for a better preparation for death. That's a terrible way to look at life, isn't it? Well, I'm just preparing to die. Another writer who wrote The Man in the High Castle said, a weird time in which we are alive. We can travel anywhere we want, even to other planets. And for what? To sit day after day, declining in morale and hope. Many people in the world are declining in morale and hope. They just don't have any hope. They don't allow the truth of the gospel to get to them, or maybe they're just hurting so badly they just can't hear it. Do you ever experience hopelessness? I think everyone does at one time or another. We need to review a few thoughts that might run through your head when you are in these feelings of hopelessness. Do you think any of these thoughts, just listen to these. One is, why bother? Nothing will work out. You know, nothing will work out. Or another, I'll never be happy. A third one is, my relationship can never get better. In other words, you've got a relationship with a family member, a friend, but you're thinking, it'll never get better. I'll never be able to get what I want. So many people in the world today are attracted by materialism. And because they can't get the things that they want, then they feel hopeless. There's just no use trying. You ever said that? There's just no use in trying. Now, some of you may be in this position. There aren't any good men or good women left. Now, I know very few of you have this problem. I'm too old, or I'm too poor, or I'm too ugly, I'm too boring, or I'm too damaged. I know none of you have ever said any of those things to yourself. Another cop-out, I call it, is people will say, I can't compete. Maybe they're trying to get a job. Maybe they're trying to get into a school. And they just don't try. And they have hopelessness because they don't think they can compete. Finally, people will say, I'm just cursed. The world, the whole world is against me. So those are just some of the thoughts that may run through our heads. We tell ourselves these things. And really, I believe Satan is the source of all that. But what does God's Word say? In 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of our God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Your hope cannot lie in another person that's in this world. It can't lie in something that you're trying to achieve. But if you find hope in Jesus, Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. For everyone who is saved, Christ is in you. And He is the hope of glory. Nothing else in this world can bring us hope. Not relationships, not a job, not education, achievements, none of those things. But Christ in you is the hope of glory. Real quickly, I just want to run through 3 points connected to this in Gospel of John. First, the first point is, Jesus is our only hope when all seems lost. When Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, it didn't take long for her to have that feeling. All is lost. Where is my Lord? See, to Mary, the Lord was everything to her. She had been following Him. She had been seeing His miracles. She had been listening to His teachings. She realized that He was Messiah. And so she put everything in Him. And that's what we should do, is invest everything we are in Christ. And then she thought she had lost Him. Well, she was hopeless. During World War II, an American submarine was torpedoed by U-boats off the coast of England. A distress signal went out and the Allied forces picked it up, and immediately a rescue ship was sent out. When the ship arrived at the scene, they found only an oil slick on the water and some floating debris to mark the place where the submarine had been attacked. Immediately, the ship sent divers down to the sunken submarine to see if they could find any sign of life. The divers had knives on them, and they came up to the submarine and They took their knives out and they began tapping on the hull of the submarine, just different places along there. They would tap on it. Finally, one of those divers listened, and they could hear a tapping coming from within. And he listened, and he finally figured it out. He was listening to Morse code. Someone was inside that submarine sending a message by Morse code. So the diver listened intently. Finally, he got it. And this is what they were saying. Is there any hope? Over and over again. Is there any hope? Well, maybe you've asked that question. Maybe you've been in those times of hopelessness and you just have said, is there any hope? You know, it seems to me that this is the question of our sunken society. Our culture has been torpedoed by the enemy of Satan and has sunk to the bottom of the sea of sensuality, a sea of sin, a sea of secularism. Our society has sunk to the bottom of the ocean of immorality, an ocean of humanism, an ocean of materialism. And I believe that from the depth of our hearts, our world is crying out, is there any hope? Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, because of that, there's hope. We can't find ourselves looking to the things of the world. Young people are wrestling with moral issues. More and more young people, even young people in church, they're thinking, well, it's okay to be intimate with the opposite sex before marriage. But well, how do they think this? Because our mores, our values, have changed so much in our culture. And this gives not only young people, but adults also, it gives them the idea that because the world says it's okay, then it is okay. But folks, our value system should not be based upon the world system. Our value system must always be based on the Word of God. And the Word of God will always show you the right way. You'll know how to live. Many times we find ourselves in a position of hopelessness and we think all is lost because we have lost our way. That day that Mary Magdalene went down to the tomb, that's what she felt like. What am I going to do? I don't know where the Lord is. She had seen him die. But she was holding on to hope. She just wanted to have possession of his body. That would be enough, she's thinking. If I can just take her body and we'll take it and prepare it for burial and oh, we can just spend time there and we'll grieve and we'll just be able to show our love for our Lord. But she didn't have that. And so many people in the world today, they don't have this hope. They've allowed the world to teach them something different. And pastors and evangelists and other Bible teachers and Sunday school classes were shouting from the rooftop, were saying, don't listen to the world. Don't be taken in by Satan. But listen to what God will tell you. Do what God says. There's people probably sitting in this room right now and you're involved in unconfessed sin. You're either thinking about doing a sin, which is sin. To think it in your heart, Jesus said, is the same thing as doing it. You're either thinking about doing sin or you've already committed the sin. And you've not confessed it to Jesus. You've not told anybody. You're holding it in your heart. You need to let go of that. You need to let Jesus have that. You need to let the blood cover that. And you won't be hopeless anymore. Because when we go the way of Satan and the way of the world and the way of the flesh, we're only going to end up in a hopeless situation. It's not going to lead down the right road. It's going to lead down a road of misery and despair. And remember, the wages of sin is death. Every time we sin and we don't confess that sin, the consequences of sin is death. Now, it could be physical death. For the unsaved, it's spiritual death. But even for believers, we can have the death of a relationship, or we can have a death of a good name, our integrity. There's so many ways that we can experience death as a result of the consequences of sin. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, the second point that I have, verses 11 through 15, Jesus is our only hope during times of grief. He's our only hope during times of grief. It says in verse 11, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And he was gone. See, God forgives us. He cleanses us. He restores us. And he uses us again. What God wants to do, if you're involved in sin, he wants to bring you to the place of weeping. Because when you realize your sin, when you realize you've sinned against God, the one who loves you unconditionally, then it can cause us to weep and mourn as if somebody's died. And so just like Mary Magdalene, here she is experiencing grief because she can't find the Lord. But notice what happened as she looked in there. The scene of two angels sitting there. I did a little reading on this, and there's an interesting thought in the Old Testament that I think runs parallel with this. The Ark of the Covenant was the most holy and sacred piece of furniture in the temple. It was a golden chest that resided in the Holy of Holies behind a curtain. On top of the Ark of the Covenant was a golden slab called the Mercy Seat. On the Mercy Seat was poised an angel, one on each end. Are you getting the picture here? One on each end. Once a year, the high priest on Yom Kippur would come with the bowl of blood. He would go beyond the veil, and there on the mercy seat, he would take the bowl of blood drawn from the spotless lamb and pour it out onto the mercy seat so that God, in his Shekinah presence, could no longer see the broken laws in the chest. They were covered. Therefore, an atonement was made, and sins were forgiven. Now let me take you back to the sepulcher. You know what John told us? When Mary came to the sepulcher and looked, you know what she saw? What John said she saw? Not only did she see the stone slab bloody from where the Lord Jesus had lain, but John wrote that there was an angel at the head and one at the feet of the place where the body of Jesus had lain. I believe that somehow God moved the mercy seat from the temple to the tomb. He moved it from the Holy of Holies to the hole in the rock because that, my friends, is where our sins are forgiven. Because Jesus died on the cross and He rose victorious from the tomb. So now our sins, past, present, and future, are all forgiven. So I'm telling you, there is hope. There is hope. And finally, verses 16 to 18. Jesus is our only hope when death appears to be the victor. I was saying good morning to one of our ladies, telling her it was good to see her. And she said, "I'm glad to be here." And I've heard this phrase many times since I've been here at Herman. I've heard it from many people, and some of those people who shared this phrase with me, some of these people have gone to be with the Lord. They're not with us now. They're with the Lord. But you know what she said? She said, "I'm putting one foot in front of the other." Folks, that's okay. That's what, when we're walking with Christ, that's okay. Putting one foot in front of the other. Why are we putting one foot in front of the other? Because we have a destination. We're going somewhere. Paul said, I reach out. I reach out for the finish line, the prize of the high calling in Jesus. And he was talking like he was using terminology like a Olympic racer. The Olympic racer saw the finish line and would reach out his hand so he could break that ribbon. And Paul said, "I'm stretching. I'm reaching. I'm going toward the finish line." So many of you in the congregation today, you're at that place in life. You're at that age. You're stretching. You're reaching. Why do you have the ability to do that? Because you've got hope. Hope gives you that ability to do that. It gives you the power to do that. So when we think about death, it should not be fearful. We should not have fear when we think of death. Death is a doorway to glory. For our Lord, He went through that door and He came back. He came back in part to tell us, "Hey, it's beautiful. I've already gone ahead of you. I've made a way. Just follow me." In 1488, Bartholomew Diaz discovered the Cape of South Africa. Perk up. I see Larry perked up back there when I said South Africa. This was a very dangerous place because of the difficult, turbulent ocean current. When he sailed around the Cape of South Africa, he named it the Cape of Storms. But just a few years later, in 1497, Vasco da Gama, if you'll take note, you can count this as a history lesson. But in 1497, Vasco da Gama took his ships and sailed a similar route, but he discovered a new trade route from Europe to India. When he came back to Portugal, he reported to the king, "No longer will that cape be called the Cape of Storms. Now it will be called the Cape of Good Hope." The cross and death of Jesus looked like the Cape of Storms. On that Friday afternoon, as Jesus hung on the cross between heaven and earth, it was stormy. It was black. It was dark. It was a place of death. At least that's what it seemed like. But praise God, 3 days later, Jesus came out of the tomb, and that was a place of life. So instead of this place being a place of destruction, Jesus coming forth out of the Cape of Storms, and now it's the Cape of Good Hope. When we think of the cross, Jesus is not on the cross. It's a symbol of what He did for us to redeem us. And then when you think of the empty tomb, there's another symbol of His victory. Michelangelo, the great Renaissance artist, once scolded his contemporary artists. He said to them one day, "Why do you always paint Jesus on the cross? Why do you not rather paint Him standing at the open tomb? Why do you always paint Him as a victim? Why do you not rather paint Him as a victor?" Isn't that so true? He's the victor. He was the victor over the cross. He was the victor over the grave. And yes, He's the victor over hell. But for that reason, we don't have to be fearful of death. And we don't have to be fearful of the everyday things that we go through if we're following Jesus Christ. You say, "You know, I follow Jesus Christ, but I still get sick, or I still have calamity to happen." Listen, while you're in this earth, things are going to happen. Just this past weekend, I guess our sewage has been leaking in our yard since we bought the house. That would have been 8 years ago. But in the last few weeks, you go to take a shower and the commode talks to you. You're in the shower just rubbing, you know, washing 8 hairs that you have on your head. And all of a sudden, outside toward the commode, you hear gurgle, 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 gurgle. And sometimes it even burp. Well, we talked about it. I kept saying, "You need to call a plumber, because I think it's known around my house. I know that I'm not a plumber." There have been a couple of times Judy thought I was a plumber, and I showed her. So this thing just kept getting worse and worse, and the other day, water started coming out from under the commode in Donna's bathroom. Now, Donna was not a happy camper. She was not. Her mom said, "Grab the towel, start catching water." So we made the call and wrote a router. They came out to look at it. They said, "Yep, you got a breakdown in there. Going to be between $5,500 and $6,500 to fix it." Well, thankfully, my wife got in touch with Brian Udy. Listen, if you have things blow up around your house, call Brian. "Brian, you got all the business you can handle now. And this is going out on the internet so other people hear it." So Brian came out yesterday before Roto-Rooter got there. They were all set. Roto-Rooter had a machine delivered and all that. So Brian looks at it. He said, "I believe this is the county. I don't believe this is yours." He said, "I'm not sure, but I'll call a guy who can." So he called Josh Griffin, who's in that department. Josh got there like 30 minutes. Union County Public Works, they're great. I was out in the yard working, and I went over, and Josh just walked by my problem that I had. He said, "It's ours." I said, "Really?" I was thinking, you know, don't you have to call somebody, let them check a map? But he said, "It's ours." He said, "In a couple of hours, I'll have a whole team out here. And they did. They got out there, about 10 men in hard hats. I don't know how many trucks, but it was Union County Public Works trucks on my whole street. One of my neighbors, he just got out in his driveway and put a chair down and sat down to watch this. He had never seen anybody dig a big hole, I don't think. I mean, really, it was scary how big this hole was. The fella went down in it on a ladder. I was up on the porch, and I couldn't see the ladder, and I couldn't see the fella. Was that hole about 12 feet deep? 10 feet deep? Yeah. Folks, it was like a mass grave. In fact, they told Judy, said, yeah, we could probably bury 15 people in there. Well, they fixed it. For nothing. For nothing. When you're going through this life, you're going to have problems. We have something to arise every week. Something within the family, something within the extended family, or, I mean, that's life. Everybody has that. Everybody has that to happen. But you walk with Jesus day by day. And as you're walking with Jesus day by day, He's going to take you through the problem, and He's going to take you through the good time. Folks, we, of all people, have hope. Are you here today and you're hopeless? I hope by now you got a different attitude. I hope by now Jesus has spoken to you, the Holy Spirit spoken to you, and said, my son or my daughter, don't you hear this? This is the Word of God. This is the Spirit of God speaking to you. Don't you see how you can take your situation and give it to me, and you won't be hopeless? We're not hopeless. We're not helpless. We are children of the King. When we, as children of the King, realize that, we'll live like princes and princes. Yeah. Would you bow your head with me? Jesus is wanting to take your situation. On this Easter Sunday, as we celebrate the resurrection, let Jesus just transform your life today. If you don't know Jesus, let Him save you. This Jesus I've been talking about, He wants you to come into His family. If you believe that He's the Son of God, and you believe that He died on the cross and He arose on the third day, then you have enough faith within you to ask Him to come into your heart, and He'll come in to live forever. For those of you who are believers, you're going through something. You got your own battle. You got your own sewage pipe, but it may not be a sewage pipe that's burst. But you got your problem. Give it to Jesus today. He'll take it. He'll protect you. He'll provide for you. He'll do everything. He is the way, the truth, the life. Father God, we just give You this invitation. We give You the results of it. But even in that, we know that You're speaking to hearts. And I pray that You would just touch hearts in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me.